Good evening, everyone. This is Darlene Hunter, and welcome to our 12th Community Prayer Portal call of this year. We're excited to be able to meet with you all again. Last month, our prayer portal call was about listening to the wisdom of the earth, and she was quite loud and present in a way that made it impossible for us to have the call. We were evacuated and without power and without internet, and just really grateful that the rains have come, and that the rains have come on our continent and all around where they're quenching our fires, and such gratitude in all of our hearts for the first responders and the firefighters that have come and put their lives on the line to take care of all of this. So thank you for your patience with us, and thank you for your prayers with us as we come together tonight to listen to Shauna Newcomb and the Reverence Code. We have Marjean, thank you, who is our maestro behind the scenes, taking care of all of the details of this phone call and sending out from our outreach department all the information and communication for everyone. And welcome Joe T., our grandma elder here, who's on the phone with us as well. Nice to have you here. I know you've been traveling so much, sis, and I know there's a lot happening around our community, and in a bit we'll open up with a prayer with Shauna, and just really appreciating everyone and all of the challenges that we're facing right now. And we're also in such a high manifestation field as we really step in and stay in our hearts with our compassion and forgiveness and our kindness towards ourselves and others. So welcome to the call, and I want to open the floor then to you, Sis Jyoti.
Well, happy holy days. We're starting to open the door into times when we're going to be with family and relations and community. We're entering a time of giving thanks for life itself and the sacredness of it, and a time when we can put a pause on this very fast-streamed life that we're in right now as this great transformation enters and is in the middle of its ending times, its turning times. So I just want to give a great moment of appreciation and gratitude for my family and the way that they are always supporting me as I get on my pony and travel around this planet. I am so grateful that the Mother Earth is seeming to shake us so loud right now that her light workers are standing up, fully standing with her and listening to her voice and ready to follow her instruction in these next days. And so big movements are happening to ensure that that is how things roll out in 2020. I am thankful for my grandchildren. They always keep me honest with who I am. I watch them growing through this time of life right now. That is really about stepping into their own teenage years and what that means to become young women, young men. I am thankful for my own community and the amazing work that they do in the world. I'm thankful that through listening to the voices in our community that it provoked us to start these calls, and that we committed for a year that we would start to meet with everybody and sit down and explore. These times can be very chaotic, and they certainly stir a lot up. Can we walk through them and stay poised in that chaos and centered in our hearts and open to the work of self-discovery so that we can be an instrument of transformation in this moment of great change, so that we can deal with the human side of our nature, but also take a moment to care for that side when it's needing it, and to be able to have community to lean into when we need more support, and to have maybe new seeds of thought about how we can hold these times without getting caught in the story of the times, that we can look, as the Kogi say, towards that which is breaking through so we can stay focused there, because there is a great movement afoot on this planet that is breaking through, and I'm here to witness that. So tonight's our last call in that year's commitment. So it's a moment of kind of closing our door that way, and I want to encourage you that if these calls have been helpful, we're continuing on through the mothership. They're setting up more calls and ways for us to connect as community and support each other and have these kind of fireside chats where we just share and we bring in others that are working in different ways to meet these times with heart. So you'll just have to write in and let us know or connect through our website. Jump into the mothership with us and let us hear your voice. In the moment, too, I really like to ask if we could take a moment of silence, because this is a doorway, as I was speaking about, that's really about gratitude. Gratitude for life, the sacredness of life, the journey of life, and how it brings us to sit with great ones in our life and people of high esteem and people that have given their lives in service to their people and to this planet. And so I'd like to take a moment tonight to hold a moment of silence for Grandmother Agnes Baker Pilgrim. She was one of the 13 on the Council of the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. She did so much for the salmon ceremony and how to call back the salmon. She did so much to help dams come down off of rivers so the salmon could run free again, so the water herself could run free again and reclaim her own center of being. Water was very important to Grandma Aggie. She used to gather it from all over this planet, and she did many water blessings that touched many lives from the stages of amazing kind of rock concerts to the fields in the open fields up in the high country, to all the many places that her feet took her and her life took her, and her family supported her in that. She'll be one of those. I love the story of the Mayan people. They say that there are some people that come and they're echo people, because when they leave, there is a reverberation that their life has touched, and it will keep moving around and touch many people after they go. So in this moment of silence, Grandma Aggie, we give great thanks for your beautiful life and the way that you spent it, and the many, many people that it touched, and the many it healed, and the many that awakened. May you have a safe journey home with all our love. And to her family and community, we send love and prayers that you be held strong in this very big moment of life. May it be so, may it be so, may it be so. Thank you, Darlene. I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you, Jyoti. That was beautiful. We give thanks for that beautiful space to hold her and her family. All of us as well, all of those that are in these same moments in their families, that same prayer touches all of you. Tonight, with that place inside our heart that we're open and breathing and living right now, I'd like to introduce to you Shauna Blue Star Newcomb. And I just got to meet her just a little bit ago, actually, through one of our ministers who got to travel to the Vatican, I think it was in 2016, which was a second trip for some of our grandmothers, because we had been in the Vatican, I think it was 2008, with the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers, and with Grandma Beatrice and all of them really looking to change these papal bulls that put in motion a domination code. And in all of the years of the Unity Concert and of our daughter Loretta and all of us working towards uniting, helping them unite all the tribes of the Black Hills so that they could make a presentation to get those sacred mountains back to themselves and sacred ways, sacred places of prayer, is that got to meet Shauna's father a number of times at the Unity Concert where he presented his film. And so when he went to the Vatican in 2016 and spoke there, and Christiane, who was also there and part of all that with all of the other elders that went there, has been in touch with Shauna and made this connection. Shauna is also going to be working with the Fountain and the Federation that's being put in motion, and the domination code, and then the what comes after this reverence code, which I'm really excited to hear tonight. I've been talking about it everywhere. I got to see a little bit of Shauna when she was on, I think it was Unify that just happened, where she was on a panel speaking. She is a guest speaker at universities and conferences. I think a lot of this we put on the flyer to you. She travels around. She just returned back from Southern California just last night so that she could be here on the phone call with us and share this knowledge and her connection with the divine spirit. And so I'm really excited, Shauna. I'm thankful that you're on the call tonight. I want to turn it over to you with great gratitude for the transmissions that you've been receiving that you're going to be sharing with us tonight. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you so much, Darlene. It's a great pleasure to be here with everybody. I do want to say deep gratitude and thanks for GOT and Darlene and Marjean for all of the wonderful people coming together to bring these calls and the great energy that has been going out in so many ways. The 13 Indigenous grandmothers have been teachers in my life as well, so I feel a lot of gratitude in that way, which I'll share a little bit more about. I do want to start with an acknowledgement and prayer. My background is Shawnee Lenape Azteca, and I'll share a bit in my Indigenous Lenape language and also an English translation. Just wanting to ask everybody that's on the call with us tonight, today, to just take a nice deep breath in and center into yourself, allowing all of the concerns, anything that's coming up for you, just allowing it to wash away, letting it go as you take a nice deep breath in and letting it out. Feeling a lightness in your heart. Centering in, feeling the earth beneath you, supporting you. Feeling a deep connection with all that is, Creator. This is a beautiful day and time, and we give deep thanks and blessings to all of the people with us here today and to all of those that will be joining us. We want to acknowledge the original peoples of our earth. We honor all of our Indigenous ancestors in our free and independent existence since time immemorial. Kuhana gishirimiing wanishi. Wamawel tekeku and amilian wanishi. Biok and tekishok. Pecho hekamakana yushi and the witakamika. Milinen wilamal sawakan. Wilatanama wakan. Milinen wiltek temakan. Ichi kaski igalichi pechi patausinan yushienta with a kamika. Wanishi nanalakesh. Creator, Great Spirit, we give thanks for all of the good things you give to us. We give thanks for the waters and the sun shining upon us on this earth. We ask that you bring us good health and happiness. We ask that you bring us a good road to walk upon, so that we may continue to live a longer life upon this earth. We bless the waters, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans, and the rain. We remember that water is life for everyone. We bless the soils, Mother Earth, Pachamama, for the good food that nourishes our bodies. We bless all of the lands of this area and beyond, the continents, the mountains, peaks and valleys of this beautiful world. We bless the animals, the birds, the fish, the winged ones, and the insects. We bless all beings of this earth. We bless each other, our dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, and all people of our human family. We remember to honor ourselves and each other as sacred beings. We are connected to the earth and to the cosmos and all that is. We know that all things are interconnected, and we are so grateful to be here today. We pray for all of the children, the elders, and all future and past generations, our ancestors. We pray for the healing and the balance of the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine, that they be reunited in deep love, honor, and respect, as we all love and honor each other. This is a beautiful day, and we give deep thanks and blessings to all of the peoples of this earth, that we may find compassion in our hearts, love, and come together in the spirit of deep healing for our beloved Mother Earth and future generations. Wanishi, thank you. So I have a lot to share this evening. And I just want to say thank you to all of those of you that are here with us this evening. We'll have some time for Q&A at the end and some other sharings. I'll be sharing a transmission spiritual message that I've received. I've received several of those, but I feel it's an important time as we're coming into this new year in 2020. But I'll share a message that I received called A New Direction in just a bit here. But I kind of wanted to turn it all away out to you as well as the people that are on here to ask what's coming up for you in terms of just kind of an inner reflection. It's a big time, as GOT was describing, and there's a lot coming up for people. Some people are having the experience of a heaviness, and some people are feeling anxiety, anger. There's the trauma, stress, fear, and uncertainty. And that's understandable with all of these incredible changes that we're experiencing. There's also a feeling of inspiration, joy, purpose, and a sense of a bigger vision of the times that we're coming into. A lot of people are feeling called to make a difference. Many are seeking answers, looking to deeper truths and healing. So just looking inward within yourself and asking yourself, what's coming up for you? Maybe it's a little bit of all of these things. And we'll go into some of this in the work that I'm doing. I'll share a little bit about how I got started in this work and the work of my father. I look at this call and the work that I'm doing as a prayer and a vision. Some people have asked, is it possible to have a world that works for everyone? I think that's an important question and focus. And I believe the more of us that are focused on that type of vision, it is possible. in this time of great changes, this is something that we can look to. And really honoring the investing in our future generations, babies, children, in our local communities and around the world, seeing our human family coming together. Like I mentioned before, my background is I'm proud to be Shawnee, Lenape, and Azteca. I began coming together with my father, Stephen Newcomb, in joining him in this work, which I see is very much about opening up to conscious change that's very much needed in the world right now, and sharing spiritual messages that have been coming to me. My path has been a deep spiritual path, and it has not been easy. Maybe many of you can relate to that as well. There's been many hard times in my life, and yet as I've come through just leaning into my spiritual path and my spiritual connection with my ancestors and really wonderful teachers that I feel grateful for, the more that I see that's what's really been guiding me and lifting me up in a good way. And so I offer that as a teaching to be a guide for others as well, speaking and mentoring for youth and women and change makers. The path of my father in his work began almost 40 years ago, and he started to learn about this deeper history into the papal bulls, which are documents that are related to the church and the Vatican in the 15th century. And I'll share a little bit more about that languaging in just a minute, but he now has a book called Pagans in the Promised Land and a film, documentary film, The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. And really what this history reveals is a lot of us are seeing this. We're seeing this deeper connection with many of these challenges that we're seeing in the world with the political, social, economic, and ecological crises that we're seeing. And I see that very much that this deeper history shining a light on what has been this code of domination and dehumanization that has been directed. It was directed and began through these documents, these papal bulls that were issued by Pope Nicholas V in 1452. And continued to be issued year after year after year. And in one of the documents specifically, the languaging is quite alarming, to say the least. And it says to invade, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens, pagans, and enemies of Christ, to take all of their possessions, land, and property, and to put them into perpetual slavery. This was issued as a directive to, with the kings and queens of Europe, and was laid out on the indigenous nations and lands and people back in that time, and then continued to be so. My dad's film and book share a bit more of this deeper history and goes into that languaging. I won't go too much more into all of that in the documents, but I do see that this deeper connection to what people are calling the doctrine of discovery and these papal bulls that were issued became the basis of the different challenges that we're seeing today: slavery, war, genocide, poverty, and also what I teach in my talks and different workshops and things that I offer is that this is also not only affecting our indigenous nations, lands, and peoples with the loss of our cultures, loss of our spiritual connections and languages and ceremonies that were over time, these changes that were taking away, forcibly taking away children from their spirituality and culture and connection to the indigenous teachings. And then taking them and putting them into the residential schools. So So all of these types of things, but also all of us today in the modern society with these things that we're seeing, these imbalances in our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. We're seeing the political, social, economic, and ecological changes, and it's all coming up right now. And these are all connected in the way that I see it in terms of a timeline that I share, is that it's very much related to this doctrine of discovery, the papal bulls, and what my father calls this doctrine of domination and the domination and dehumanization that has led to these times that we're in. I also like to say as a disclaimer that we're not pointing a finger to vilify any one particular people, but we are wanting to convey this patterning of the domination dehumanization patterns so that we can see into the shadow. What I see is that we're very much in a time of waking up and shaking up so that we can have that shadow come to light to be healed and to be in a sacred witnessing. So many of these different things that we're seeing are part of that. And it's an uncomfortable time for many of us. It can feel heavy. It can feel triggering. And yet it's also a very powerful time of great healing so that we can look to truths that have not been revealed up to this point. So reframing how we see it, reframing that this is something good that we can see, okay, this is not comfortable. These truths are not easy to look at. And yet the more that we can see them and witness and come to terms with those challenging histories, the more that we can do our own inner and outer work to make the changes that are needed right now so deeply. Many people are also wanting to say who or what is to blame. People want to blame patriarchy or racism or white supremacy or even different religions and things like that. And I see that this is all very much caught up in the fear-based thinking that is also associated with that domination, dehumanization patterning system of that domination code and related to that doctrine of discovery in these papal bulls. The more that we can understand those patterns and take a deeper look at that, the more we can see that these are all symptoms that are part of that root cause that began this. That domination code system I teach is very much related to a life-destroying, life-consuming model that has been perpetuated for many centuries, based on hierarchy, superior, inferior models, desires of power and control. These are the types of things that are leading to the ecological challenges that we're seeing and experiencing. And the more that we can see through that and understand and have that awareness, the more that we can make different choices in our lives and in the ways that we're conducting ourselves and living our life. As a contrast, I also want to speak to the indigenous way of life in what I call the time that was before. And those models of balance and harmony are original, free, and independent existence, living a sacred way of life extending back to the beginning of time. That deep spiritual connection for the people and the land and all beings. This was upheld for millennia, and that balance and sacred connection kept that balance with all things. I also started to do my own research, taking a look at my dad's work and my own spiritual path that I was on, wanting to know more about the oppression and suppression of women's voices and women in history, and looking deeper into this domination code and where it all began. And I started to look at the goddess cultures of Europe and also taking a look at the Inquisition, these ideas of heresy and the witch trials. So that domination system was perpetuated at that time in the same patterns. And I began to see that there was a very different origin story to our Mother Earth and this original spirituality of what was true for all peoples of our planet at one time, if you go far enough back into the history. That goddess and earth were the sacred focus of all peoples, that honoring of nature and the sacred life givers, honoring of women and clan mothers and Mother Earth, honoring of the sacred elements of life. And that's what was put on the altar. That's what was seen as sacred. The matrilineal systems that mother and daughter, the passing of land and property was passed down from mother to daughter, not necessarily from father to son, as it then became known as. And then a very different model that I talk about, which is the reverence code, which is a life-sustaining, life-nurturing model. There's an egalitarian focus where women are honored. The earth is sacred. Women are sacred. There's honor and respect and compassion, and a community focus, a generosity focus. And just looking at what has happened in terms of the changes that have occurred with the absence of women, the myth of the witch being perpetuated over time, that has then led us to where things are in modern times today. And this contrast between the two is very powerful. So I go into this quite a bit more. I have different courses that I teach, and I'll tell you more about that. One thing that I think is very important at this time is looking at our indigenous elders have talked about these different prophecies about this times that we're in, and the messages that I've received have talked about the Great Shift. Some people know it by that name. Other people may refer to it as the Great Turning. There's other names as well. A remarkable experience that I had in 2017 was we experienced a festival called the Oregon Eclipse Festival, and it was really wonderful to see so many young people, 50,000 people, I think it was, from 50 countries came together in the spirit of higher consciousness and spiritual connection and a vision for healing the earth and the changes that we could make. And there were many indigenous elders that came from all over the world, from all directions. And many were sharing their messages. And it was a really good time to come together in that way. And I could see what was possible for the future. If this many young people were coming together in that way and had that bright vision for what we could create together, it gave me a lot of good feelings and hope for the future. And I was able to share my messages that I'll share with you just a bit here about the Great Turning and the Great Shift. But I see it's really a time of reflection and being able to, the more we can see through that shadow of that domination code system and understanding it within ourselves and how it's being perpetuated and also in the collective, the more we can see and understand and do our inner work, the more we can then, as a collective, be part of the changes that are so important right now. And speaking to people feeling, you know, these different feelings of anger or anxiety or uncertainty, I see it's really a time of surrender to follow our own inner spiritual path. Seeing this time as a time of great healing rather than feeling the heaviness, but looking at a reframing of what's possible as we are making the changes within ourselves. Tuning into a higher wisdom and a spirit-led life. Tuning into our own intuition, our dreams, our visions, messages that may be coming through for you. Connecting with the collective good rather than having it just be me focused or it's only me and my family. How can we extend out and look at the collective community and the world as a whole? And really honoring these spiritual connections that might be coming up for you. That hasn't necessarily been the focus in what people have been taught in school, to honor our dreams and our visions and spiritual experiences. And yet that's a very innate, deep part of all of us that is very important at this time. So I really look at what's possible for the world right now, that it's up to each and every one of us to be like healthy cells in an immune system, that we can each do our own inner work, reflecting upon our own inner shadow, reflecting upon our own inner gifts and strengths, and also following your passion, looking to the causes that light you up. Because I really see that whatever is lighting you up, whatever, maybe even what's pulling on your heartstrings, maybe what's keeping you up at night, those kinds of things are calling to you particularly for a reason, that each person's path is unique. And it's beautiful to consider that one person's path may be focused in music, another may be focused in science or healing. There's so many different ways that it can be expressed, and it's all important. We're all being guided to do our work in our own special way. And the more that we can follow our passion and our purpose, the more that great changes can start to come together and we can start to find innovative solutions that are really needed right now. Also, looking at this vision for change for the collective good, moving away from the pattern of just me-focused, as I mentioned, to we-focused. Looking at our interconnection with all life forms. Looking at our connection with Mother Earth, all of humanity. Looking at the well-being of the holistic well-being. Body, heart, mind, spirit, our sense of purpose, our abundance, our relationships, as well as the impact that we have in our families, our communities, and in the world. And I really see this contrast as well from what has been perpetuated with that domination code system and learning what I'm calling more of a focus to the reverence code. The reverence code offers a way forward, a way to honor ourselves and our sacred connection, looking to deeper truths, as well as seeing into our own innate wisdom honoring our ancestors and stepping into our own passion and purpose. It's a deep healing for all peoples, our Mother Earth, and future generations, helping us move from our head to our heart and understanding that reunion of the sacred feminine and sacred masculine that is within all of us, and really celebrating the spiritual evolution that we're in right now. And really understanding the ancient and indigenous understanding of a deeper connection to love of the land, understanding our own intuition and dreams and visions, coming together in deeper community and seeing the sacred in all things and within ourselves. I also remember having a workshop that I did with an elder many years ago, and one of the questions that I asked, it was about 40 people, I said, how many of you have had spiritual experiences that you may not be able to explain or logically make sense of? And how many of you have had dreams, visions, messages? And they, almost all of the people, I think all of the people, raised their hands. And then I said, how many of you have told anybody? And one person barely raised their hand. I think that was significant, where all as a collective, these 40 people had all had these incredible spiritual experiences or important dreams or visions or messages or something that was very profound, and yet they'd been taught to silence that within themselves or taught to be somehow ashamed or to hide that part of themselves from others. And I think that was very significant for me to witness that, and also for the group as a whole to witness that. Because the more that we can share and the more that we can honor and accept that part of ourselves, I think that's a very big part of our deeper healing that's needed and necessary at this time of great changes. Part of the perpetuation of that cycle of domination, dehumanization, has been to deny that part of ourselves, which is so very necessary for our spiritual connection. And the more that we can just honor it and accept it and speak to it and share it, the more our spiritual connections can grow and help us to understand the times that we're in and bring great healing for our earth and people and find solutions. I also wanted to speak a little bit to some upcoming connections that people could learn more about this. And I'm offering a course that's the Reverence Code Solution, and I'll be able to speak to more of these different teachings and understandings, hoping to guide people through a transformation. I feel like preparing for this coming year in 2020 is a very important, we're in a very powerful time. We're helping to let go of our fears, limiting beliefs, and the more that we can lean into our infinite possibilities of what's possible for creating a vision for a brighter future for ourselves and each other, for our planet and future generations. There's so many incredible opportunities for us right now. And the more that we can reframe our point of view of how we're looking at what's breaking down and breaking through and really viewing this as an exciting time that each and every one of us have something coming through us to share, to shine, to give, that we're all part of the healing solution that's needed right now. So it's really a beautiful time. There are many visions of the future, and as a collective, it's beautiful to see that even when we're experiencing crisis, even when we're experiencing these challenging times, that people are coming together. There's movements being created. There are so many people that are coming into their hearts that as much darkness or shadow coming out, it's bringing people into their heart. It's helping people to remember their own inner strengths. It's helping people to share and speak their truth. And it's so important that we continue to do that. And remembering that we're all in this together, that domination, dehumanization model is part of all of our heritage. We all have been affected by it and are continuing to be affected by it. And the more that we can see that and understand that, we have the awareness to step away from it, to stand in our strength of our spiritual path, to honor our gifts, and come together in community. There's this really wonderful quote by Chief Seattle that I want to share. And I think that the more we can look to that interconnection and understanding, that's what these times are about as well. So the quote says, "Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect." And just remembering that interconnection with each and every one of us. We're all connected. We're connected to the earth. We're connected to the cosmos. We're connected to spirit. And we're also in our human form. We're connected to our ancestors. We are the hope of our ancestors. And how can we be good ancestors for the future generations? So I just wanted to share as well, I'm going to open it up to Q&A here in just a bit, but as I mentioned, I have been teaching and sharing, and I'll share my transmission message. It's called A New Direction. It's about the spiritual evolution that we're in right now. And I see that it's a very important time. It's an exciting time. It's a challenging time. There's so many incredible opportunities that we're working through right now. For those of you that have an interest in learning a bit more about this domination code, reverence code, and learning about my father's work and my work, I see that it does make a difference to have my dad really being the truth teller, helping people to understand the deeper analysis behind that domination code and the doctrine of discovery, doctrine of domination. And how that has led to the challenges that still continue to this day with our Indigenous ancestors, Indigenous peoples, lands and nations and cultures, and that intergenerational trauma that has been perpetuated. And as I mentioned as well, I see that it's not only just our Indigenous peoples that are experiencing this, but all peoples in our planet. But also seeing the contrast with the reverence code and the way that we can begin to move forward, the way that we can begin to heal ourselves, seeing that inner wisdom that can come through each and every one of us in a special, unique way and what's possible. It's a very powerful contrast. I'm going to be offering a special webinar presentation on December 10th. And it will be from 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. And you can learn more about that at my website, which is shawnablustar.com, shawnablustar.com. And I'll be having an online course starting at the beginning of the year as well. Just in closing, once again, I just want to say it's a beautiful time to just think about how each and every one of us carry this incredible wisdom and spiritual connection, and that we each have a great opportunity ahead of us. I wanted to open it up for a question and answer or anything else that you'd like to share, and then I'll share my special transmission message as well in just a bit.
Well, thank you, Shawna.
Thank you, Darlene.
listening to you, I just want to say that we're all about, you know, looking at our shadow and really understanding what it was that has gotten us all to this place and time, and having then you speak about the reverence and how the contrast between the two, and that we have choice. That's what we wake up and we have choice, and it just felt like this beautiful salve, you know, that just has been flowing all over me, reminding me about this is a time that's also about inspiration, about what all of people that are coming together to stand up for the earth and for that feminine spirit in harmony with our masculine spirit. So thank you so much for sharing the way you have. I'm excited to, at the end, Marjean then can also send people out that your website information for those that didn't catch it, is really to learn more and more about how we can then be in that relationship with all mm-hmm. that is. Thank you so much. And so as she said, we want to open it up. Marjean has everyone on mute, and I think do they press one, Marjean? You want to share how people can raise their hand, and then she can call on you for questions or comments, dreams, visions for Shawna.
So we advise you to press one on your phone to see raise your hand.
So if you didn't quite catch that, it was a little blurry. To raise your hand, press the one on your phone. So while they're thinking about this, I do have another question. I was speaking about it to you earlier. With respect, as you know, we're going into this holiday season, and specifically tomorrow, which is part of that created from that domination code, as well as having gratitude for our families and things like that. And is there a way that I know inside myself I'm really torn about how to be in gratitude and not be then in the domination part of that shadow? And is there anything that you can, you know, share with us with that salve that you have? I would really appreciate that from your perspective.
So I really like this reframing of people talk about Thanksgiving, and I actually was down in visiting and speaking down in Southern California, and it was kind of this reframing, giving thanks. So instead, it's like the opposite. And that's very much in the reverence code. The more that we can also begin to look to this time of coming together in with honoring our families and giving thanks to our families, giving thanks to the earth, just giving thanks, and that is very much a core part of this reverence code that I speak and teach about, is that gratitude, which is a central focus of our indigenous and ancient teachings. And looking at, you know, this holiday that has been created and set up in that kind of colonization model, just really looking at that and reflecting upon that, you know, more and more my father and I speak to having an awareness of being those indigenous peoples that were on the shore, seeing the ships coming to Turtle Island, for instance, and what that experience was like. So honoring and remembering and understanding that there is a darker history there, that there is genocide, and you know, there were deep and dark things that were occurring, and it wasn't necessarily the teachings that have been taught in the history books. So honoring and remembering that, and then, but at the same time, honoring and remembering the time that was before, all of the beauty and the culture and the understanding of these incredible knowledge systems and that interconnection of all life, and the beauty of that, of the language and the culture. The more that we can honor and remember that, I think it really can change the way that we're looking at this historical time, and then just really knowing that we're coming together in family, in sacred connection with our family, giving thanks to all things, and coming together in that way with community. So it's a little bit of looking at the shadow as well as looking at reflecting on the gratitude that we feel when we're coming together with people. And I think rethinking the history as well is part of that, but honoring, I feel like it is a little bit of a deeper spiritual understanding of of
yeah.
things, though. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shauna, can I ask a question? This is Jyoti.
Yes.
As I hear you sharing, I can feel that the reverence code has already started to spread itself so many, many years ago, as people started to do their awakening and step out of this, out of the what you're calling the colonization coding that had entrapped us and kept us asleep for so, so long. And mm-hmm. that really, at its basis, ran an energy of fear and scarcity, a need for control out of all of that. And it put it in our language as well as in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, as the reverent codes start to bubble up, start to come and open us again and nurture us, and as Darlene just said, be like a salve on something that's starting to really heal, how will that look inside our language?
That's a very good question, so thank you for that. And an understanding that my father speaks to, because he's very particular about language and rhetoric and communication is one of his specialties. The English language, I understand through my dad, is very much based on the Roman Empire, and so much of our language that we're speaking in English specifically is part of that domination dehumanization model. So it's very hard for us to communicate. I understand as well, my dad has some Indigenous friends. I think they might be Cree. I'm not sure their nation, but when they speak in their native language, they don't fight, because they're coming from a language of kinship, and I see that it's a spiritual and heartfelt language. But when they switch over to English, they start to fight and be in conflict with one another. So I find that very interesting, that contrast. I think the more that we're coming from the heart rather than the head, they kind of work together too, of course, but just being in our heart is so much more a part of that language system. And I think in some ways the English language is a little bit different to really speak in that way. So in our languaging, it might be something that we explore and find new ways of communicating. For instance, in the Indigenous translations that we hear from other nations, we find it really beautiful. I know that in the Cree language, the word for woman is the warmth, or excuse me, the word for fire and woman, I think it is the warmth of a woman's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, it's such a unique way of expressing and putting language together that you don't usually find in the English language.
I agree.
But as far as our, yeah. And then as far as just our languaging with one another, the more that we're tuning into that spiritual side of ourselves and listening to our intuition and our dreams and our visions, I think it starts to really transform the way that we're looking at the world, and we're seeing from a different lens that maybe we hadn't really been able to see before. So it's quite a transformation to go from your head to your heart, and yet that's what's happening, whether we want it to or not, whether people are ready or not. But we're going to be coming more and more into our hearts and our spirit for our deeper healing.
Well, I know that in a lot of tribes, as I've traveled around, the way it was explained to me, they don't have the word I in their languaging.
Mm-hmm.
They speak about their lives and what they're needing, but it's always coming from a collective kind of experience, the we, like you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That, so that it's an inclusionary language rather than something that's, because when I say I immediately am separating myself from the collective and from my community or from what I'm speaking to. There's also a lot of people on the planet, as I've traveled around, have this, what they call a light language, a star language, that's been coming through now for over a decade or so. And that language is something that is not a cognitive experience. It's a language that really comes out of the whole system. And so you feel it and you know it without it going through the brain and the cognitive exercises that we use now for languaging. I wondered if that's also part of the reference code coming in.
Absolutely, yes. And interestingly, I am familiar with the light language. I have many people, I think, because of my middle name, which is Blue Star, people come to me often and they ask, are my messages or transmissions light language? They may be, I'm not sure, but they don't come through me in that same way that some people experience the light language. But I do see it is on that intuitive level. It is on that part that you're describing. It's not something that's in the head. It's just an experiential understanding, a knowing, a connection with our being. that we can relate in that way without maybe even words. We don't necessarily need the words. We just experience the energy and synergy of each other, or sacred sites or the planet. And the light languages that I've heard people speaking, or messages that I've had people share with me, I find it really fascinating that when I hear very ancient indigenous languages being spoken, that the light language that I hear people in recent years sharing with me sounds to me like this native languages, like they're very, very ancient. So I see there's a connection in that way too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I bet there's someone out there with a question
yep.
Your heart's jumping up with.
Yes, there's Jane. Jane, your mic is open.
Jane, did you unmute yourself?
Jen?
Nope, I was talking and I was muted. Sorry. I just was saying thank you so much for being with us tonight and for your teachings. And you spoke to my question even before I asked it when you were, you know, just sharing about giving thank. Okay, son, I'm almost done. Okay, just give me a minute. My four-year-old would like his cornbread.
We give thanks.
And we give great thanks for the cornbread. You can have it in the house at the table, okay, because it's so crummy, okay? In the house.
In the car.
Do you hear I'm asking a question? Can you please wait? See, we were completely content until mom starts to speak. So I guess my question is on is a vision for holding, you know, a way. You were speaking about your father's friends and when they speak Cree, that and in that language they never fight when they're speaking that language. Mm-hmm. And I know there's so many original languages that are, you know, there's still very few speakers left and they're dying out. So I'm wondering, and I know there's a little bit of an upsurge of interest in how to hold and reinvigorate some of that language, because there's such potential to,
mm-hmm.
to access a whole different way of understanding when we can speak in different languages. And I, realizing as a mom, you know, how much of our culture, how violent it is in our language. And so I'm wondering, you know, is it through song? Do you have a vision of how that the original languages can be rekindled, and how, you know, folks like me who, you know, I'm a native English speaker, and, you know, my roots are very much in the, you know, with the Roman European history. So how to intersect and rekindle those languages in a respectful way, you know. And my first thought was perhaps through teaching and sharing song, but I'm wondering if you have a vision for that way mm-hmm. forward.
That's a great question too, so thank you for that. Definitely, especially for our future generations and helping understand this different way of expressing and being and connecting in that spiritual way. I see that there are a lot of revitalization programs of different indigenous language programs that it's really exciting to me to see that they are popping up quite a bit. And it may not be like, you know, some kind of a commercial type thing, but the more that people can support people that are doing that work, you know, like helping to bring funding to them, that kind of thing. But I do see that there are also, for instance, like with our Lenape language, they have, interestingly, they have a recordings that were put together of all of these incredible elders that had been speaking. I think it was Jim Rementer is the person's name that helped to bring that. And he was not, I'm not sure if he's still alive or not, but he's not a native Lenape speaker. He's a non-Indigenous person, but he was willing to take the time and put that together. And that is something that has been beneficial to myself and to others. So there are those programs that are being, and then there's people that are putting them together, like at universities as well. I know that some people are teaching the different languages. As in terms of like people coming to learn those languages, I think songs definitely are part of that, because that's connecting, again, not necessarily in the head, but again, through the heart and through experience and energy and community to bring people together in that way. I think that makes a difference to bring it into song. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I just think there are programs that are coming up, and the more that we can support that work, the better, because, you know, it's not that they're completely dying out in terms of people. There are still people that are speaking the language, and there are people that are working to reinvigorate the language and bring it into a program, or helping these young children to be able to learn it so that the next generations can continue that on. Just the more that we can connect to the culture and keep that culture renewal and revitalizing patterns is you know, the better. But definitely song. And I know as well, like in the hula culture, that is something that is actually a language when it's being danced, which is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. These are mm-hmm. things that we don't necessarily understand in the modern culture, but it's, you know, song and dance and ceremony and prayer, such a spiritual connection that is a deep part of all of that. And that's all part of the language system. So I guess, I don't know, I hope that answers your question a little bit more, but the more we can support that work, the better.
Well, and I'll also refer you to the Fountain website. It's called thefountain.earth. And a whole lot of the work that we've been doing through our community for up to 30 years is really working hard to get the original lands back in the original caretakers' hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because that also preserves culture. Our root cultures, these original cultures, are like the root to our life tree. And so if we can start to focus coming back to how to keep those safe, the culture holds the language. The language comes from the land and nourishes the people. So for us, that's there is a lot of energy coming right now together. It's galvanizing itself to do that very thing, to see how we can step back close to Mother Nature, who wants her original caretakers to have those lands back so that they can reactivate their sacred sites and her esoteric body can breathe easier again, you know. And all of that is connected to the root culture and to the language that holds that culture here. So my elder said to me one time, when you lose your land, you lose your language. You lose your language, you lose your way. So it's all, that's that interconnective place on the web that you were talking about earlier, Shauna. So it is happening. Your interest is very exciting. And let's keep galvanizing this so we can really take care of these root cultures and the language that is the medicine for us all.
Mhm. Yeah. It is very much about the land and that connection.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions?
Anybody else? Raise your, press one.
Yes.
Raise your hand.
We have Shona. Shona, your mic is open.
Hi, thank you. And yes, my name is Shona too, so that's kind
of fun.
I just want to say thank you. I wanted to hear something like this close to Thanksgiving, just, you know, in a way to connect to the Native American people. So thank you. This brings healing. I am familiar with your father's work at the Parliament of World Religions in Salt Lake 2015. I did buy your father's video and attend his workshop. And I have to admit, the video is hard to watch. It's painful. but, you know, the truth sometimes is painful, and he must be very strong to carry that truth to the world. And I'm just thankful for the work you're doing too, the reverence code that just, I don't know, just brings the other side to that of healing. I have a couple questions. One question is the class you're teaching on the 10th, and you said you have another one in January. Are they the same topics if I had to wait? That's one question. And the other question is that I do feel myself wanting to, I just intuitively feel like, yes, there's like more of a truthful heart language I can speak in my own life. And some friends and kindred spirits speak that, and then some friends, when I'm around them, it feels like it's not a language that's true for me, or the words that are being used, and I feel like I'm not kind of speaking my own truth when I'm with them, or it is kind of from that old kind of domination, very much as in them. And so our time's so critical right now that we may need to even let go of certain people in our life when it doesn't feel like the true language for us or where we want to head to. And so that's my other question. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Shauna. Yes, there's multiple questions within that question, so I'll try to do my best to answer. I'm really glad that you were able to see my father at the Parliament of World Religions. That's available if people want to see the interview of that on YouTube, and the powerful talk that he gave. And then as well, yes, the documentary film, it's again The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. It's a powerful film, and I really appreciate that when we share that with audiences around the world. It's really opening up hearts and minds at the same time. It is hard to look at the truth and see those effects of that domination, dehumanization system, but it really also helps to create a timeline for people to see that deeper history that has not yet been revealed to many people. And the more that we can just share that story, it really is helping people to understand on a deeper level the things that we're seeing today as a collective happening in the modern world for all peoples. And then, yes, like just coming to that other side, the more that I can offer, I felt like I kept seeing people wanting something more after we showed them the film. They would come up to me and be pulling on my sleeve and saying, this movie changed my life and I didn't know this history. I had no understanding of this, no knowledge that that federal Indian law system is part of that domination, dehumanization system that was led by those papal bulls that were issued in the 14th and 15th century by the Vatican, that then became part of the U.S. legal system that still is in effect today. So those are very powerful historical truths that most people don't know, and my dad is able to reveal that in his book and his movie. And then bringing something more for people to say, how can we move forward once we know these truths? What can we do now what can I do personally to make a change? So that's part of my answer through the talks that I'm giving with my dad, as well as the courses. So that December 10th is sort of like a preview for people that want to learn more about that. And it offers a webinar through Zoom that you can attend with me for an hour. And then I'll share a little bit more about my 8-week long course that starts in January. So I hope that answers your question. And then as far as like speaking in the heart language, I think when I share my message in just a minute here, it's called A New Direction. It speaks about that we're all on our own unique path, that some people are a little bit farther ahead in their spiritual path and some are a little bit farther behind in their spiritual path. But it's not for any of us to say what's right or wrong for anybody else, that everybody finds their own way and it all works out for the best in the long run. It literally says that in the message. But it may be that sometimes, I mean, I've had that happen for myself as well when I was younger, just knowing that as I was stepping more and more into my spiritual understanding and awareness and what was speaking my truth for myself, what felt good intuitively, just listening to my own body and like, this person doesn't feel good for me. This person feels great. So sometimes we may have to let go of relationships, or sometimes we may be a teacher for somebody that is a little bit farther behind, although that requires patience on our part and it may be challenging, but just being the example, not necessarily, you know, having to feel like we're preaching to somebody or something like that, but just being the example that people can see and follow, speaking from your heart, speaking your truth. Some people are ready for that and some people are not. So making those discernments as you go. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'd like to share my message if that's possible. Can I share that?
Yes, yes, Shauna, I just wanted to say one thing, and that is while we were talking, I got on the website, and I cannot find on your website, you know, and I'm sometimes a little challenged, the signing up for the December 10th experience.
Okay. They can go, it's under my courses, and I may have to add another link on there, but it's under courses, and they'll be able to, they can also email me, or it's Shauna@ShaunaBlueStar.com, Shawna at Shauna, ShawnaBlueStar.com. And under courses, I have the reverence code or the Changemakers course. And they can...
And going in there would connect in with this December 10th one?
Yes, yes.
Okay, got it. All right, so click into the courses and it'll take you there. Okay, thank you. So are there any other questions that are out there right now? And then we'll close with Shauna's transmission. Wonderful. Yes, please.
Okay. So as I mentioned, in following my own spiritual path, it hasn't been easy for me to accept in the beginning when I was younger. I had a lot of intuitive and spiritual experiences that I wasn't quite knowing what to do with. I feel very grateful to, especially I've had wonderful teachers, but I know Grandmother Flor de Mayo of the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers has been an incredible mentor for me in many ways, just by talking with me and guiding me. And I appreciate that she was encouraging of me to share my messages. And I think it's important that, you know, as I do, it's helping people in their own way. People come to me and say it was opening something up for them as well. This particular message I want to share is called A New Direction, and I've received other ones as well. But this one I think is important in looking at the spiritual evolution that each and every one of us is experiencing. So it's called A New Direction. The time has come for us to take ourselves out of the chaos and go in our own direction. This is about following a different path, and there are some who will not like it, and many who will not understand at first. Yet this is an important first step in making the change. It is important to know in your heart that this is the path you want to follow, and that it is a strength you find within yourself. It is hard to go away from the pack and carve your own trail, but this is necessary for change to occur. When you do this, do so with your heart leading the way, and listen for your inner guidance to know what is true and what to leave behind. This is about finding what is essential and true and taking nothing else too seriously. There is much that can be left behind, and it will serve you in the long run. Once you find this place inside yourself, you will feel much lighter and find more strength and certainty. This is a good first step. There are some who will see that you are changing in this good way and notice right away that this is something they want for themselves too, and it will be a pattern to follow. This is also a necessary part of the process to have people learn this shedding of unwanted skin to reach their inner strength. It is a beautiful process when people find this place together, or it is a sign of good change is coming. This small trickle will then start to become more, and people will come to see what is happening and how this is working. Some will be intrigued and excited, and others will be upset by the changes and want nothing to do with it. It is not for the others to decide for anyone what is right or wrong. It is only that they find the changes for themselves and accept them in. It will all work out for the best. This is also another good first step. Now once more, people come to this new way of being with lightness in their heart and a sense of renewal. This is when things truly begin to shift. This is when more and more people begin to feel there is something happening, and the messages begin to spread, and more people will begin to wake up to what they felt was missing before. They will let go of past angers, hatreds, hurts, and sorrows and begin anew. This is a time of renewal and to celebrate that there is indeed a shift. This is a time of coming together and support and community, and people begin to see the error in their ways. This is a truly powerful time. Next, we see that people find it less and less appealing to be in a world with chaos or violence or fighting, and their hearts really open up in a new way. This is when things start to shift on a large scale, and people come together to make big changes. There is no tolerance for hate, bigotry, slaughtering, hunting for sport, racism, and all the isms and ignorant choices that come from fear in the world. Suddenly, there is a new ideal for coming together, not about fighting the separateness. This is a new time of deep acceptance for differences and a realization of oneness on a bigger scale. Thank you, everybody. I hope that message brings inspiration and a sense of what's possible.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It touched me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We give great thanks for you for being on this call tonight, for our community, from our hearts to your hearts. And our tradition of opening up everybody's mic so we can say goodnight to each other, walk gently, have beautiful prayers.
I want to make sure that Shauna gets to sing her closing song because I think that was going to happen and I really would love to hear it.
My transition was my song, so yeah. That was my song.
Okay, it definitely was that, but if you want a song, you can have a song.
that was my offering, so thank
that
you.
Was, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's all about those languages. Beautiful. So let's open all of the microphones. Say thank, give thanks, gratitude. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Love you, love you, love you, our heart in your heart.
That was yay.
Fabulous. Thank you, Shauna, everyone. Woo!
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Good blessings. Good night.